Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know Him and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more of how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in a message from God's Word.
If you're watching on Facebook here this morning, we don't put the music on YouTube, but I left my mic on the entire worship service again, not purposely. So if you thought Paul doesn't sound very good this morning, Paul must have had something in his throat. No, it was his pastor just messing him all up online. So hopefully the sound guy muted me, but normally I mute myself. But so anyway, it happens, right? It happens. I make no claim to having a good voice, but I love to sing.
It sounded good.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyway, well, hey, we are continuing our series called Freedom. And last week we took a look at verse 1. We're going to be in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. But we saw that in order to experience and to have God's blessings, to get His best, to be in His will, that the way we end up experiencing that is trusting in the Lord and believing that God has our best in mind, and that our view of God, it matters. Then we have the biblical view of God and realize that God really is good, that He really does have our best in mind, we're more apt to follow and do what He's called us to do. Now, a POW, as you know, is a prisoner of war. He or she is a person who's been captured by the enemy, and they've been held hostage in the context of a conflict. The situation is where the opposition or the enemy now controls their actions, their movements, everything that they do. They are controlled. In the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, there are also Christian POWs, prisoners of spiritual warfare. The enemy has captured them, and there appears to be no way of escape. They feel trapped by the situation and circumstances that the world would call addictions, whether it's drugs, pornography, alcohol, codependency on some substance abuse, gambling or food. They feel trapped. They feel like there's no way out. There's no way they're going to get out of this. That they know Christ. At least they remember a time where they say, you know, I know Him as my Savior. I've been born again, but I just feel trapped. I don't feel set free. Can you imagine that there is something we can actually do that God promises will allow us to test and approve how good and pleasing His perfect will is in our lives? See, God wants you to experience His good and pleasing will in your marriage, in your job, in your future, in your relationships for those who are around you. God wants to give you the very best. Now, before you go like, okay, so you're saying this should be easy. I didn't say the easiest. And oftentimes when we hear that God wants to give us His best and He has a plan for our lives, we think it's supposed to be a smooth road with no mountains and no valleys. But God, I can sign up for that kind of Christianity, but that's not what Jesus promised. We can have and experience God's best here on earth. I didn't say richest. I didn't say the one with the most toys or that you'll get everything you want, but not the easiest. But one that pleases God. You see, the Creator of the universe, He knows you by name. He loves you. He is patient with you. And He has a good and perfect will for you. So how do we get to experience God's best? I think we all would agree that having a fear that controls us a loneliness that haunts us, addictions that imprison us, or a guilt that depresses us, or marriages that don't last, or relationships that don't work, that's God's best. It's not. It's not. And so what do we see here in Romans 12? Romans 12, which I need to turn to, I thought I was, verse 2, this is what it says to those who are believers. Now, we don't have to experience those things. I'm not saying not experience difficulty. It's not what I'm saying. We don't have to experience some of the things that the world offers, that the enemy offers, that the world says this is okay, when in fact it's just one huge trap. And it says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, "And do not be conformed to this world." Some Bible versions will say, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, this example of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So what is the world as mentioned right here? What does it consist of? What does it mean to see this world that has a pattern to, or the power to mold and to shape our thinking? Every one of us that are watching here this morning, that are here, we have something called a worldview, a way that we look at the world. We have a value system. We get some of that value system through our parents, through our fathers, and thank God for our godly fathers. But even godly fathers, because they live in a fallen world, have some wonderful things about them in which they've shown us. And there's some things they have their downfalls. The same with mothers, the same with, if you don't have children, the same, it'll be the same way with your children. Because we live in a fallen world, we need someone to help steer us straight. We need something, a straight ruler that we know is straight, that we know is true, that has been measured, that has been tried and true. One might ask, why is it so hard at times to be a Christian, to live for the Lord? There's three main reasons. The first reason is this. It's a simple one. It's you have an enemy. His name is Satan. He is the author of evil. Jesus said, called him the father of lies. Think about that. Father of lies. If you wonder, what's all this chaos, this fake news we're dealing with, that we seem to get some information here and then it changes the next day, and what's going on here? What's going on? It's the enemy creating chaos behind the scenes. He doesn't want anything to have clarity. He wants to mix it up. He wants to confuse. And the Bible tells us that Satan is focused and fell from heaven because of his pride. And so that hasn't changed. He's so prideful. In that he has overwhelming beauty. And so he never comes like a herd of elephants. He is smart. He is wise. He is prideful. It's all about him. But he comes in beauty. It's a false beauty. It's one that entraps. And he hates Christians. He hates everything that stands for what is good, what is lovely, and what is pure. He hates all of that. He hates marriage. There's an attack on marriage. He hates the church. There's an attack on the church. And we also see this, another reason, is that why is it so hard to be a Christian? Why is it so difficult? You're fighting a spiritual battle. And here in verse 2, the Greek word cosmos is used. It's referred to not to the physical world, but the spiritual world system. This world system is designed to woo your heart away from God, to destroy relationships with others, to lead you into sin and to bring condemnation to your heart and break relationships with break that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's what we live in. Why is there confusion? Why is there hatred? Because there is a world system and there is God's system, God's setup. Why is it so hard to live this Christian life? As many do not realize that the battle is ongoing. It's ongoing within you. See, many Christians are confused and frustrated to discover that after coming to know Christ, they still struggle with certain old sins and certain sinful patterns in their life. Like, I thought I got saved. I thought I would not have some of these same issues. But there's a battle. There's a battle between what the flesh craves and what the Spirit wants. This is part of this study of finding freedom in Christ. You can find that freedom. He offers freedom to everybody. And He offers it to you. Regardless of your struggle, I want you to know that God loves you. I don't know what the major sin is or sin that you seem to wrestle with, but I want you to know that don't be surprised when you wrestle with it, because you are in a spiritual battle. In fact, if you're wrestling with something, it's a good sign that you belong to the Lord, because you're a threat. Maybe you got saved when you were a little bit born again, became a Christian when you were a little bit older, and there were certain things that you never used to bother you, but until you started going to church, and until you got serious about your relationship with God or became a Christian, you never struggled with. Why is that? Because the enemy wasn't concerned about you. But now you're a target. I don't say that to make you afraid, but to make you aware that you have an enemy, and you should act like it. In fact, Ephesians 6 tells us this. Ephesians 6 says that we do not wrestle. You ever feel like you're wrestling? You're wrestling. Maybe every day you're just wrestling with something. Why is that? The Bible is telling you right here. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what is the world system that Satan tries to convince us about? The phrase, like the world, is used elsewhere in the Bible. The world has a way of thinking and a way of looking at things. I want to read you another Bible verse. It's in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And notice you can see three main areas in which mankind, which we struggle with the most. That the world has a way of thinking versus the way God thinks about an issue. It says, and do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. And he sums it up. You can put it all in these three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh refers to, is really about sex. The lust of the eyes is about salary, power, control that money can bring. The pride of life is about status, of popularity, of all about me. And here's the thing, is that these three categories, though, are really rooted into legitimate needs that we all have because of the way that God made us. For example, you know, we need food. There's things that, we need shelter, right? Money was God's idea, believe it or not. We need money. One of the most misquoted Bible verses in the Bible is that money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. We need money. Anyone enjoy money? I like to buy clothes. I like to buy food. God gives that to us. But does your money have you? That's where the love of it comes in. So they're rooted in legitimate needs and longings that God has given us as human beings. So the desire for sex, the importance of recreation and pleasure are all important and not to be considered evil. For example, sex is a gift by God for two people who are married and is intended for pleasure and procreation, and it means to passionately communicate one's love for one another. And when taken outside of the marital bounds, God calls it sin. He calls it evil. He does. And so there's things within a boundary in which God says, this is good. I call it holy. I call it good. But we live in a sex-saturated society that wants to say, whatever should go, should go. Here's my question. This will probably get your attention. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? God has clearly drawn the lines in His Word. He has shown it. He has made it clear. Where do you draw the line? Now, I realize God has given us a free will, right? He's given you a free will. He's given me a free will. We live in the United States of America. We have the freedom to do many things. But just because it's not illegal, or just because we have that right or that freedom, doesn't mean we should do that. Now, I realize there's kind of that line between having the freedom to do something and making something illegal, or something that is that should not be in a society. Where do you draw that line at? And it seems that line is being pushed further and further away from God. Why is that? There's a way the world thinks, and there's a way that God thinks. The question is, what is your worldview? What's the foundation of it? If your foundation is the Word of God, you're going to say, because God says this, my view is this. Whereas when the world says, this is what your view should be, who tells you that? I can tell you, the media. The media. It's what forms the world systems. There's things that people would be against 10, 20, 50 years ago that they have different views on now. And anything good that one a media might say that to shape our view, it's rooted in the Word of God. We've seen some crazy times during this time. And probably, I don't care what age you are, I'm 40 years old. I've never experienced something like this with a pandemic and all the chaos. Race relations aren't anything new. And I'm not going to preach about race relations. We've seen a lot of that on media. What do I have to say about it? The same thing Jesus said about it. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say concerning some of the race relations? This is what he would say. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as unto yourself. And regardless of what someone looks like, what color skin they have, church, you should love them because God loves them. Amen? He loves everybody. Now, that does not mean that we accept sin. And I tell you, something that is greatly upsetting to me and really just makes me angry, to be honest. There's a lot of things that we're probably angry about. And anger can be a righteous anger. And we've heard many times about separation of church and state, right? Church, you can't do that. Separation of church and state. Man, I don't know how many times I've had that thrown in my face. Well, this is what you're seeing, though, in America. You're seeing the state getting more and more and more, more involved in telling the church what to do. We saw that this week with our Supreme Court that's supposed to be conservative. Our Supreme Court is not conservative, even though the ones that were put in there were said to be conservative. They are not conservative. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go back and read that concerning with our daycare and other churches' daycare, concerning those who we hire, other than ministerial staff, there are certain rules and regulations when it comes to those who are trans and when it comes to homosexuality. We are a Christian institution. We are a church, and that is established by God and by His Word. We will live according to the Word of God. Even when the Supreme Court crosses a line and tries to make judgments that are not biblical. Now, Romans 13 is very clear. And this is something that should be in our media today. Because the principle holds true. We should honor those who serve us. Whether you like the president or don't like the president, whether you liked him now or you didn't like the previous one, we should always honor the president. We should honor the Congress. He said, there's some bums in Congress. Yeah, probably so. But Romans 13 says we should honor those who are above us as far as authority. We should honor our cops and stand with them. The bad ones, we should be brought to justice. There's bad in every world, right? And here's the thing. Racism isn't new. Racism isn't new. Go read the Old Testament. We've seen it with the Holocaust, with the Jews, with the nation of Israel and Jewish people discriminated against. It's something not going away until Jesus Christ comes back. So what should we do in the meantime? God's called us to love Him and to love people. And by loving people, you're loving Him. I believe that's what Jesus would tell us today. But those who have crossed their line, we will obey God before man. And we will honor our officials until they go against the Word of God. And we will honor the Word of God. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane is what I have to say. And there may be some things that we have to suffer for here on this earth because we are Christians. But God will right those wrongs. He will one day. I hope I'm wrong in what I'm getting ready to say, but my question is, where do you draw the line? In the agenda of what we have seen, that there is no line, it keeps being pushed and pushed and pushed. It is. It's being pushed and pushed. Where do you draw the line? We have the freedom. We have the freedom, but where do you draw the line in chaos? Do you draw the line where you have trans people going to libraries and teaching children's books as something okay? I'm not okay with that. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line if someone, you know, falls in love with their mother, wants to marry their mother? Oh, wait a second, preacher. That's crazy. Where do you draw the line? It's America. Shouldn't they have the freedom to do that? Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line when it comes to child pornography and pedophiles? Weren't they just born that way? Ooh, getting thick now, isn't it? Where do you draw the line? You got to draw the line somewhere, because there is a worldly pattern and there's a godly pattern. And I'm going to go with the godly pattern, which is given in the Word of God. Because the enemy, who is a father of lies, he wants to destroy everything good and everything that he sees, because we are made in the image of God. He hates us. He hates mankind. And that's what he is out for. Here's my prediction. And this is not a prophecy. I'm not doing that. They will make, within the next 5 years, the Bible a hate book. It clearly speaks out against certain things, sex outside of marriage. Is very clear in this. And listen, I love those who struggle or those who are homosexual. Even as I'm mentioning trans people, we love them. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to repent and turn and go to Him. And so I'm not here to hate, but also it's not going to keep me from giving the truth either. Because God has called me to preach the Word of God. And so I'm going to preach the Word of God, whether it's popular or unpopular, whether some like it or don't like it in our society. That's what we're going to do. Where do you draw the line? I'm going to draw my line with where God has put the ruler and where He has set the line. And if some cross it, they cross it. But there's a worldly way and there's a God way. And I realize, you know what? We may have relatives that have gone into some of those sins. What should I do, preacher? Love them. Love them. Keep pointing to Jesus. That's what we should do. And that's what we'll do as a church. We'll love them. And so that's where we're at today. I believe this will be called a race book, a hateful book, because of what speaks of racism. And here's the thing, is that, not to get into the subject, but when it comes to what you see biblically when it comes to slavery, we automatically think of American slavery. Slavery in the Bible was much different, a different context. And in fact, there were some who put themselves into slavery back in biblical times because the life of being a servant was better than not having any food and nothing at all. I mean, there were some tough things biblically. And so when you really get struggling about some of the issues and some of the forgiving, some would have to work off their debt and be a servant for a certain amount of time. See, there's a lot of context there that gets lost throughout history because we weren't there. And so I'm glad that the church has been a big part of moving away and healing some of the wounds of racism. And you know what? I can't put myself necessarily in the same shoes of those who have had to experience some racism. I can't, because I can't experience some of that. My heart goes out to them. What's the answer? Jesus said, love God, man. Love people. And he wants to transform. He wants to transform our lives. You see, this life that God has given us, it's a testing ground. It's a testing ground. It's a setup for the next. You see, this is not all there is. There's much, much more. Some will view this life to make all they can, get all they can, store all they can while they can. That's not really what life's about. Life's about loving God and loving people. You see, you ever seen that show, The American Pickers, on the History Channel? It's a pretty neat show. I don't watch it near as much as I used to. I actually went there and met Mike. It was kind of cool. Kind of went to their little store there in Moline, Iowa. But it's interesting how they will go, and they'll go to places and farms, and folks will have barns and barns just filled with stuff. Most of it's junk, but some, as they say, they find rusty gold in some of those places. There's some guys, they will make their own little town on their property, and it's like, man, how neat is this? And it always makes me wonder, do they know Christ? Are they doing anything for the kingdom of God? They're just storing and storing and storing, and it's obvious. Their stuff has them, rather than them having stuff. You see, a third seducer of the world system is the pride of life. It's the passion to be, it's all about me. And if there's a time where that's been amplified, it's today. Maybe it's because of social media. It's less about we and more about me. And you see that in our society today. But the fact is, God has called, and that's one of the beautiful things about a church and about having community. It's we over me. You know, you can see this even with our children and kind of the mindset. Children and teens tend to be naturally selfish. In fact, if we're honest, when we were teenagers, what were we? We were more selfish than we are today. Because as we grow and as we mature in Christ, we realize that we have to share, that we have to help others. And Lord help you if you're an only child, right? But we're naturally selfish. And if you ask any kiddo, especially between the ages of 10 and 14, what do they desire to be when they grow up? You know what the number one answer is? So have you taken a poll? I don't even need to. I can tell you what it is. A YouTuber. Now, technically, I'm a YouTuber because we put these messages online. But I'm not a YouTuber, right? And some have the idea, and maybe some will do it. Now, it'd be great and wonderful. I'm going to get on YouTube. I'm going to have one, I'm going to have a million 1 million subscribers, and everyone's going to watch my videos. I'll make a lot of money off that. Easy peasy, got it figured out. What's going on? They're thinking only of themselves. You see, the flesh focuses on only themselves. The sad part, and man, I'm talking to you today. Sometimes we as men, we never grow out of that. And we hurt our own marriages, we hurt our own families because of our selfishness. That's the pride of life. So what's the solution? What's the solution? Your mind can be transformed, and your life can be transformed. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Supernatural transformation is rooted in our spiritual diet. You see, the gate to your heart is your mind. What are you allowing in? What are you allowing into your mind? What are you taking in? What are you thinking on? Some of the best things some of y'all could do right now is get off social media. Some of the best things some of y'all could do right now is turn off Fox News or CNN or whatever you're watching. It's just bringing you down. It ruins your day. You get watching the television, and man, you're just watching negative, 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 negative. You're just feeding everything that's being, it's just being fed into your soul. It's dragging you down. Get rid of it. There's some folks I was talking to in here, they're like, you know what? I haven't even watched the news in 2 weeks. It's like, it's the same story over and over. I'm just sick of listening to it and hearing it. And that's kind of where I'm at. I really, you know, you get told one thing one day and something else differently the next. You know, at the end of the day, I think the best thing you can do is wash your hands and not cough on people. I mean, like really, I mean, when you get down to it, there's so much that's been thrown out there. So much we've had to see. But be transformed. The verb transform comes from the word metamorphosis. What's metamorphosis? We know it involves a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, but it's a change from the inside out. And Jesus wants to change you from the inside out. That's how he works. And maybe you're thinking in your mind, I just need to try harder. Some of you know that doesn't work. Just trying harder doesn't work very well. You need to let the Holy Spirit steer and guide and control your life. And control your life. And you, ultimately, what do you need to do? You need to run and hold on to the truth of God's Word. And you need to hold on to that when the wind blows, when the rains come, when the flood comes. You need to hold on to the truth. Because the truth is, trying harder is not the pathway to true spirituality. Truth is what will keep you. This is what the Bible says in John 8. John 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. Disciples indeed. And if you know the truth shall set you free. Notice what Jesus said. Abide in my word. That means to stay, to meditate, to let it soak in, to change you. The word of God will change you. And the Holy Spirit will use the word of God in your life. You see, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Depends what you're going to hold on to. Depends what you're going to allow in. And if you're always allowing the negative, the junk of the world, the pattern of the world, the shows you watch, the music you listen to, the movies you see, the sitcoms you watch, if you think they don't matter and they don't affect you, you are lying to yourself. Here's a result. It says that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prove it. You can show it. God wants you to experience his good and pleasing will in your marriage, in your job, and in your future. He even wants you to experience his perfect will in a difficult situation as you learn to wait and learn to listen and realize that God's grace can sustain you. God wants to give you the very best. Not the easiest, but the best. I'll read one more passage here. It's in John 17. I don't think I have it up here on the screen, but John 17, verse 14. This is what Jesus said. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So Jesus is saying, you're not going to be separate from the world as far as being away from them. You're going to be around them. God's put you there just as he had put me here. I pray that he keeps you from the evil one, the enemy. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Notice verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify means to set apart. That's what it means. Set apart. Set apart them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. The truth will set you free. If you want the freedom of what you so desire in life, it only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. It only comes for following the truth of God's word. Anything else is not going to get the job done. Listen, In this world, we can't help if the birds fly over our head. But you can help if they make a nest on it. And the last I checked, nests are not built in one sitting. It keeps coming back again and again and again and again and again. I'll end with this. Maybe you're watching this message and maybe it made you angry. Not the first time I've made someone angry in my life. Probably not the last. But I'm not up here to condemn you. And Jesus didn't come to condemn you either, but he did come to change you. And Jesus said in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God loves you. He really does. And he wants to transform your heart and mind. And God does not want to condemn you, but conform you to be like Christ, to transform you to the image of his Son. And so I want to encourage you, church, and those who are watching, let the Lord transform your mind to the truth of his word. Will you let him do it? If you let him, he will. Put aside your pride. Put aside your sin and run to him to experience the freedom that you cannot get anywhere else. So I'll end this sermon the same way I've been the last 3 weeks. This church, during these crazy times, over there's people hurting. There's people who are angry. We as a church should react the way Jesus wants us to react, by loving God and loving people. Father, we come to you in prayer. God, thankful for your love for us and your kindness and your patience. God, I pray that we will show love to those who are around us, even when we disagree with them. Even when those who may not line up to living the way they should be living biblically. God, may we show patience and kindness and the love of Christ to those who are around us and among us. God, I pray if there's someone here or someone watching who's not born again, that they will humble themselves, they will repent of their sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them and to be their Lord and Savior. That's how one becomes born again. We love you. We praise you. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Just so you know, we're going to dismiss the last two rows. Now, if you need to use the elevator, or because of some disabilities, you need to use the side door, you're welcome to do that. But if you're healthy and you don't need to do that,